Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Identity Economics, How Our Identities Shape Our Work, Wages. And Well-Being by George Akerlof and Rachel Cranton is a nonfiction economics book that challenges the standard assumption that people respond only to prices and material. Building on the author's foundational research in identity economics, the book argues that social identity, norms, and self-conception are central to how people choose jobs, study, spend, save, and evaluate success. Rather than treating preferences as fixed and purely individual, it shows how behavior changes when actions support or threaten a person's sense of who they are and where they belong. The book is written for readers who want a clear introduction to a more socially grounded economics. It connects theory to practical settings such as workplaces, schools, households, and communities, showing why conventional policies often miss the mark when they ignore identity-based motivations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, identity as a missing variable in standard economic thinking. The book begins from a simple but disruptive premise: economic models are incomplete if they ignore identity. Traditional economics usually assumes that people compare costs and benefits and then choose the option that maximizes material payoff. Akerlof and Cranton argue that this misses an essential layer of decision-making. People also care about whether an action fits the identity they see for themselves and the identity others expect them to perform. That means the same wage, school, or policy can produce different behavior across people because the symbolic meaning of the choice is different. This is not a minor psychological add-on. It changes the logic of choice itself. By introducing identity utility, the book explains why people sometimes reject profitable options, why norms persist even when incentives point elsewhere, and why social belonging can be as powerful as money in shaping conduct. The result is a broader framework for understanding human behavior in economic settings. Secondly, why workplace performance depends on belonging as much as pay. One of the book's most important applications is the workplace. Identity economics explains that effort, productivity, and job satisfaction are not determined by wages alone. Workers are more likely to perform well when the job aligns with their sense of self and with the norms of the group they identify with. This helps explain why two employees facing similar compensation can behave very differently. A workplace that offers high pay but conflicts with a worker's identity may generate disengagement, while a lower-paying environment that feels socially meaningful may motivate stronger effort. The authors use this logic to reinterpret familiar management tools, such as incentives, monitoring, and organizational culture. Stock options, for example, are not universally effective simply because they increase expected earnings. Their success depends on whether they resonate with the identities of employees and the culture of the firm. The book, therefore, shifts attention from pay design alone to the deeper question of how organizations create identity-consistent roles that encourage commitment. Thirdly, education outcomes are shaped by norms, self-image, and peer expectations. The book also applies identity economics to schooling, where it offers a useful explanation for differences in learning, persistence, and achievement. Students do not evaluate school solely by future earnings or grades. They also ask whether studying, excelling, or conforming to academic norms fits the identity they have adopted or the identity available to them. This is especially important when peer culture sends signals that certain forms of achievement belong to some groups but not others. In such cases, students may underinvest in education not because they cannot benefit from it, but because doing so would create a social or psychological cost. The book helps explain why some schools foster strong performance while others struggle even under similar material conditions. It also clarifies why policy interventions that focus only on resources or incentives can disappoint if they do not alter the identity environment. A school that makes academic effort feel socially legitimate and personally compatible can do more than one that merely rewards test scores. Fourthly, social norms can produce inequality by restricting what people feel able to do. A major contribution of the book is its account of how identity can reinforce inequality. Akerlof and Cranton show that social norms do not simply guide behavior in neutral ways. They can also define who is expected to belong in certain roles, who is judged competent, and who is discouraged from participation. When individuals face norms that exclude them or make some choices feel inappropriate for people like them, they may adjust their behavior downward, even when they have the talent to succeed. This mechanism helps explain persistent gaps in education, work, and income that cannot be understood through money alone. The book is especially useful because it treats inequality as partly relational and cultural rather than only distributive. Barriers can arise when people internalize expectations about gender, class, race, or status, and those expectations shape aspirations and choices before formal markets ever do. By showing how identity-based constraints operate inside social institutions, The book broadens the explanation of inequality beyond wages and opportunity to include belonging and permission. Lastly, a practical framework for policy that works with human identity rather than against it. The book's broader implication is that policy design must account for identity if it is to be effective. Standard incentives often fail because they assume people are interchangeable responders to prices. Identity economics argues instead that people interpret policy through the lens of norms and self-conception. A program that looks efficient on paper may backfire if it asks people to act in ways that feel inconsistent with their group identity or moral self-image. This makes the book especially relevant for policymakers, educators, managers, and social scientists who want to understand why behavior changes slowly, even when incentives are clear. Its contribution is not merely descriptive. It suggests that successful interventions should change the social meaning of action, not just the material payoff. That may involve reshaping institutions, peer environments, or cultural expectations so that productive behavior becomes identity consistent. In that sense, the book stands out by connecting rigorous economic reasoning with the social realities that determine whether policies gain traction in everyday life. In conclusion, identity economics is best suited for readers who want to understand why conventional incentive-based explanations often fall short in real settings. Economists, policymakers, business leaders, educators, and general readers interested in behavior will all find value in its central idea that identity and norms are not peripheral influences, but core drivers of choice. The book is especially useful for anyone trying to understand labor markets, school performance, organizational culture, or persistent inequality. Its practical benefit is that it helps readers see why people sometimes resist financially attractive options, why institutions succeed when they feel culturally legitimate, and why policies must do more than change prices if they are to change behavior. Intellectually, the book stands out because it brings formal economic thinking into dialogue with sociology and psychology without abandoning analytical clarity. Compared with many books on behavior, it is less interested in isolated biases and more interested in the social structure of decision-making. That makes it a distinctive and durable contribution to modern economics. If you would like to support George Akerlof, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.